How you doing? This is Deshaun Woods of your City and Coaches podcast. Got a special guest today. Columbus, Ohio native. Great. We'll get right back into it. How you doing, Cheryl? How you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Welcome to the show. I really appreciate this opportunity that I was telling you before we got started. So how you doing with quarantine, you and your son and everything?
We are managing, in-house most of the time. Most of the time when we leave, it's because he's working out. We also do home workouts. I'm a social worker, so I can work in home, or I go to my office. So we're just maintaining. I mean, it's tough. They did lift the stay-at-home order, so we are now allowed to leave with caution. But, how it is. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people, are just trying to wing it out through right now and get back to you. Now, you are a Columbus alum, correct? You went to the same school. You went to Memphis High School.
Right? Yes, sir.
Yeah. So, who's the coach before Coach Taylor? I never knew that. Who's the coach before? You were there before he got the position, right?
No, I wasn't. He coached at Linmore, and then he came over my freshman year. The previous coach was a school teacher that I'm not sure what his name was. I just knew he did not win. So, Troy came my first year.
Oh, okay. So, I don't know if it was a mix around or stuff like that. You guys won district championship that year, 2001. Was that your senior year?
No, that was my junior year. Our senior year, we were district runner-ups. We got cheated, but that's another story for another day. But, district. My junior year, and then our senior year, district runner-ups.
And then you went on to continue career at Central State University, HBCU. Shout out to that. I spent 1 year at HBCU called Wiley College in Marshall, Texas, before I transferred. So definitely big at that. So, you're probably still part of the golden years at HBCU, still thriving, and people still wanted, atmosphere. I know they went up to NCAA recently and stuff like that, but, can you give people your experience, coming from Columbus? I know it's, Dayton area, right? Your freshman year, what was it like on campus?
Well, let me just start from a backstory. I was in high school, and I was watching Drumline. And, Nick Cannon was doing his thing on the drums. So I was like, I want to go to a HBCU. But I didn't want to go that far, so I started researching schools. And Central State came up and Wilberforce came up. Mm-hmm. And so I applied to Central State. It just so happened that my coach was already recruiting. She had a really good relationship with Troy Taylor and Michael Marshall, gym teacher, legend. So she would come and recruit us just because she just had that relationship. So she was already coming to the school. I had already applied to Central State because I wanted to go, to a HBCU. And then I was also being recruited by some smaller schools, some small D1s, but I really wanted to go to a black school. This was before the black wave, we're woke type thing, Black Lives Matter. So, my first year at Central was interesting because Central was on the verge in 97 of shutting down. And so they were kind of getting out of that financial crisis moment. And so there wasn't many people on the campus, about 600 of us. On a full campus, okay? So it was kind of a ghost town. Yeah, Greek life was dead. Basketball, the sports were alive. So my first year there, I didn't have that much respect for Central. I'm like, this is a school up the way. A lot of people don't respect it, but hey, we're gonna do this. I wasn't taking basketball seriously, and I was in for a rude awakening. Coach had us on the track at 4. I think we moved in from 9 to 3:30, and she had us out in the sun, and I'm like, she got to be kidding me. And so out the gate, she had us going hard. Let's put it like that. We went through 6 to 8 weeks of conditioning. Professors were great. I love my school. My freshman year, we was in the sports heavy, a lot of community service. I wasn't happy. I was going to leave. I stayed the course, and that's pretty much what it was, or whatever. I love Central State, though.
You got through it. So you spent time in Central State. But post-grad at Central State, you went on and got your master's at Ohio State. Is that correct? How did that timeline go into?
Well, you know, like I said, I went to school before the big HBCU wave, and a lot of people didn't put no respect on Central State's name, okay, including myself when I first got there. So basically, I wanted to prove to people I can get it done at two universities. I got it done at Central State, and I got it done at Ohio State. At Central State, my major was social work. I started out as a physical education major because I wanted to be a coach, but then I started going into schools and seeing kids suffering and stuff. So I changed my major. So with that being said, I went to Ohio State because I needed a higher licensure in social work and things like that. So I decided to go to Ohio State. That was a two-year program. Graduated in 2009, and my experience at Ohio State was completely different from Central. Central for me was like a family. Everybody you walked past, you spoke to, you knew everybody, you knew everybody's business. You needed anything, you could really talk to a teacher. I mean, some people took advantage of that. At Ohio State, it was more business. You know, I'm sure people enjoyed it as an undergrad, but as getting my master's degree, it was all business. I didn't really go to any of the other buildings. I went to a few parties because I am Greek, but I mainly got my degree and I got up out of there. So I appreciate Ohio State, but Central State is near and dear to me. And so it was just the degree for me.
You started your career in the social work. I mean, you're still doing social work, correct?
Absolutely. I work in foster care.
Oh, okay. Okay. So with that, like, you see a lot of kids, you see a lot of parents and stuff like that, and like with these new times, and you know, first of all, thank you for your service, you know, definitely being out there and helping these kids out. I actually was a product of, I was in foster care and adopted as well, so I definitely know what it feels like and had that experience at a young age, and definitely think we had caseworkers like you or social workers like you back then. You know, the light would be bright. So what are some of the organizations you work with in the Central Ohio area?
Well, I when I graduated in 2009 from Ohio State, I went into social work and foster care. And I mean, I've worked with several agencies. It's, you know, being a product of adoption, you're going to deal with many players. You know, you have therapists, you have to get doctor's appointments. Sometimes, you know, we're big on getting them into sports. So I really, it's more of a macro type thing where you're dealing with the community. Now, directly, for the most part, I'm based out of Franklin County. So we get a lot of kids from Franklin County Children's Services, but also from the surrounding counties. So sometimes I deal with different counties. I license foster parents. So that could be anywhere in Central Ohio. It can be in Columbus. It can be in Newark. It can be in Pataskala, you know what I mean? Mm. So I work with a lot of different people. I mean, directly as an agency, my goal is to license foster homes and make sure kids are maintaining when they are in foster care until they're adopted out or adopted within that home. So that's kind of what I do in my role.
So I had to ask you, obviously coaching was like a passion you wanted from jump, and you did jump into it a little bit. So even though you got into the social work atmosphere, where down the line did coaching get in for your experience and stuff?
Well, when I first got to Central State, my original major was physical education. For the first 2 years, you know, you take your general courses and then you start doing field experience. And that's where I decided to change my major, because I would go into the schools, and it was in Xenia, Ohio, which is like, Wilberforce, Ohio is considered a black middle-class area. Then Xenia, Ohio is the area where you go get all your stuff, groceries, things like that. So that's where we did our interning. And that's when I switched my major, because I would go into schools. And I feel like personally, it's hard to educate kids when you don't know what their home life is like. Even kids that are in foster care. I mean, who wants to come to school and learn when they're not with their mom or dad, or they've been beat the day before or weeks ago and stuff. So originally I wanted to be a physical education teacher and go into basketball, okay? But after going in the classroom, I decided I wanted to switch to social work, because I felt like that way I could really help kids, and I was gonna have to figure out the coaching aspect a little later. So when I did eventually get into coaching, it was because one of my teammates at Central State, she had a job offer, but she couldn't take it. One thing about coaching that people don't realize is this is a commitment. It's not something, I mean, you can do it for fun, but if you got it in your mind, you're doing it for fun and operating at 10%, you're not going to be good for those kids. So I happened to be working in Gahanna. it wasn't a serious job or anything. It was something I was doing to pass the time while I was in grad school. And a coach had open heart surgery at Gahanna Lincoln High School, where my son goes to school, and he passed away. He passed away. Mm-hmm. It was something they suggested for him, and he passed away on the table. So immediately they were scrambling for a coach. They called my friend Taya. She was unavailable because it was last minute. Well, she said, I know somebody who's just as good, if not better. So I got the call from Rick Hauser, and he basically said, hey, I want to extend a job to you. I don't even know you. I don't know anything about you. I've heard great things about you. But I want to give you the job with a stipulation. There were two stipulations. He offered a girl that he had coached. She's now a principal in Gahanna, but she was pregnant and due any day. So he's like, you can go on as an assistant slash head of the freshman. Like, how are you going to do this? And then if this works out, because it's last minute, I do not have any intentions of retaining you, but I will get you another coaching job if you do a good job. So first day I go in there, I'm coaching the freshman girls at Gahanna Lincoln. Alyssa Lopez, she was pregnant at the time. We just used to tag team the mess out of those girls, running them. To this day, get on the line was my favorite thing to them. So Alyssa, I want to say about midway through, she ended up having her baby. So I finished out and we won our little freshman championship. So that was my first coaching gig. Then after that year, I moved down. They had some post players coming through. They ended up transferring that he wanted me to work with. He was like, I really want you to groom them. You had a good post player career. I want you to go to Middle School West. Applied at that job. Those girls transferred out into Pickerington or somewhere they went. And so I was stuck at Gahanna Middle School with no hoopers. I stayed there for 4 years, and then my son was up and coming. I basically had to stop coaching because he started hooping and I couldn't be two places at once. So I would have him at all my practices, but once he really got going, I couldn't do both. So that's why I stopped coaching. I later went on, he was playing AAU and for a national Nike team. And the coach was like, man, you be just talking that talk. Like, I love what you have to say about basketball, things like that. I'm going out of town for my son who's younger that plays on two teams. Would you like to start coaching the boys when I'm not there? And so I did sign on as an assistant with him for 3 years. And that was pretty successful. And that was coaching my son directly. And after that, I was done. I haven't coached since, besides like casually. One day somebody's doing Little League and they like, can you coach? Coach is not here. I'll do that. But I haven't formally coached since Sean was in like sixth grade.
But it's easy for, because when he's home and it's just y'all two, you see all advantages as a player, the former player, the coach. So he benefited that, you know, definitely in situation. Since you hit on your son's actually, you know, most likely one of the most highly recruited kids in the state of Ohio, pretty soon probably nation going into your junior year. But more importantly, I want to ask you, you know, because you're a mother first, obviously, right? How are you guys are processing, like, you know, his urges, recruiting, and now we got social media. We didn't have all that benefits. Like, how, we really need to know, like, how do you process all that, all this going on?
Well, I am a single parent. And yes, I do wear a lot of hats. Mm-hmm. In our home, I mean, I believe you follow me on some social media outlets. It may look like I'm all Team Sean, basketball, 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 basketball. Everything he do, any award, I'm posting it. I'm celebrating it. But in-house, we don't talk basketball, nothing. I mean, I may walk past him and trip him or something. Like, you know, he has just been brought up to compete, okay? I'm like an ultra competitor. And I would tell him when he was young, you're going to be good at something. I don't care if it's breaking pencils, like pencil fights or something. Like, if you're my son, you're a boy, you are going to compete. You're going to be good at something. I don't care what it is. If it's just reading, you're going to be good at something. It just so happened he picked basketball. And it just so happened I was a coach. And so when I early on would see him hooping, he would be dogging my girls. I'm talking about, this is even before I really discovered that he could hoop. I would have him around basketball. I was still hooping. He'd come to my games. He'd running around screaming. And then he started like hooping with my girls. He'd be ripping them, scoring on them at like kindergarten. So I'm like, okay, you think you all that? Because they was that bad. I'm like, okay, you're making right-hand layups. You can't make no left-hand layups. Then he crossed over. I'm like, okay, you're crossing over, but you can't do this. So every time he did something, I always added something new. Okay, you're making jump shots, but you don't have no floater. Another thing I would do is at his games, and this killed him, I never clapped. I never cheered them on. I didn't care if they won. All I would do was take a picture after they got a trophy. It's the only time, and then I posted, and he hated it. So you'll see him in a lot of pictures with his eyes rolled up. Like, he hates it. But he'd always ask, Mom, why don't you clap? Because I expect you to compete. I'm not going to cheer you on. I expect you to go hard. There you have it. So then, leading up to now, how we manage everything is my son is so humble. To keep it all the way real with you, he doesn't care. Like, he gets a lot of awards, he doesn't care. You know what I mean? Like, I have to sometimes push him. I have to push him to go to this. I have to push him to go to that. But he's so humble. I feel like I've done such a good job with him that he just wants to hoop. He just wants to be better. I've never made him go to a workout. If he doesn't want to go, hey, okay, we'll stay at home. I'm never going to make you do something you don't want to do. Now, if I think it's a good idea, I will present it to him like a real life presentation. Sean, hey, this will be good for you 4 years from now. I think you really need to go. No. I'll throw it at him again. And then eventually he buys into it. So in our home, it's a real humble home. I try to set goals for him at the beginning of the school year. This year, he achieved every last goal I set for him. Told him he can grab player of the year. I even told him he could grab, you know, there's a few he didn't get. I want him, you know, eligible for Mr. Basketball, which he was right at the heels of Mr. Basketball. So give him something to work for these next 2 years. But in our house, it's strictly business. Recently, we was talking to a college coach. He asked, with your mom being a coach, how does that work? What is the first thing she'll say to you, you know, when it comes to basketball? And Sean was like, she'll call me a bum. He was like, what? What? And he was like, she'll call me a bum. Like, I'll look up at her and she'll just go, bum. And that's it. That's it. That's all we do now. So that's how it goes in our home. I try to keep him humble. He handles everything well. Even random days we'll be in the car and I'll ask him, like, do you ever get nervous? You know, or you ever think this is too much? Pressure burst pipes. And he's like, I'm good, Mom. I'm good. So I think he handles it well. I handle it well. I mean, our circle is small. I mean, you know, we just try to keep things going, though. So
I do see that you keep your circle small. And people have to appreciate that, too, no matter. Because I know because social media makes people feel like they're in, but they're not necessarily in. It just, you know, it's what you see. Like I said, with popularity. And boy got game regardless, you know. Mm-hmm. So, you know, at the end of the day, it's going to be there.
Right.
You know, but I definitely have watched you and respect the way you've orchestrated. And yeah, I mean, even what you said, like, that's, I mean, you having a player in your household that, and but you're like, yo, when we're home, we're home. Like, this is what we do. And then, like you say, I don't know. I honestly, it's actually impressive what you just said, actually, because thinking, because I actually, you know, me being a former coach, and that's not necessarily what we always get, right? You know, definitely without question. And you seem very supportive, like Hannah and, you know, coach over there and the staff. So it's like you're on the right road. So the summer's coming. We don't know about this quarantine stuff that's going on. So how you think you guys are going to do? I know AAU is pretty much canceled. Like, so how do we get them ready for this junior year?
Well, you talk about coach. Another thing I want to say is, in this microwave society, it is hard to trust coaches. It's hard to trust the process. It's hard to let it happen, especially being a coach. Looking at some stuff that he do that I may disagree with. You know, one game getting out of pocket in the stands, not like just sitting there like, oh, I'm hating what I'm seeing, you know, and still watching it unfold. What I will say, and where I do now give his coach credit, is I had to humble myself as a parent, thinking I knew it all. And as a coach, because at the end of the day, you and I can be the coaches, all right? And we just see things differently, you know what I'm saying? Or say after a game, it could be a week from now, you'd be like, hey, we should have ran flex. You know what I'm saying? Like, when you're watching some video and you think you need to correct some things. So I always want to give credit where credit is due. If Sean did not have a 24-2 season, even with him being as good as he is, I would be panicking for this summer, okay? I will be real live in panic mode because he has such a solid campaign as a sophomore. Now what's happened is, and I hate AAU for the record, but now what has happened is his coaches and his AAU guys are able to make calls for him. So he's cutting more corners than another kid who really needed this summer, okay? So for us, we're not necessarily worried about the summer. I just feel like in a way he's shortchanged in terms of like the live periods. But his by no means, like and a few of the local sports writers, they get information out for Sean. So we're just trying to do home workouts. You know, Sean, get up. Sean, call a coach. Okay, I'm going to take you to this gym. It's three people there. All right, let's keep it Corona safe. At home, let's look at your diet. Because, see, I don't know what the heck he'd be eating at school, but now I'm able to be like, get some protein in, you know, get some vegetables, things like that. So I almost feel like we're in a controlled experiment where I'm able to make sure he's healthy. Because, somebody was like, man, you got your weeks off. Because I told him when they stopped high school, he needs 4 weeks off. People like, man, that's a little too much. I'm like, nah, man, they be playing basketball year-round. You don't really play no other sports. So the summer, we don't really care. The only thing I'm sad about is that Sean and his team can't go to June ball, which is where their kids, they'll take a group and they'll go to like five campuses for the whole week and play against other local teams and some teams outside of the state of Ohio. And that's a way to show gauge where we are for the next year. But I'm not worried about my son. I'm very happy where his recruitment is. I mean, there's just – everything just fell into place, but I give his coach his credit because if we didn't have a 24, I feel like if we had a 16-7 season and Sean averaged 24, you can't really say he had a good sophomore year. But now you can say, man, this is a sophomore. He had almost an undefeated season, 24-2. He averaged 18, 4 assists, 5 rebounds. Like, and they won with an okay team. I love his kids, but I mean, I love the kids on the team, but like, everybody wasn't a superstar. They just bought into their role. Like, if it's, I'm going to play the post. So we won with a group that like love each other and they care. So I love his coach. I love his team. they made it happen for my son. Of course we did too. But like if you know two games, two of his teammates hit game winners. If they didn't hit them, we could have been 24-5. I mean like 18-5. You know what I mean? So that's where we're at in terms of summer. We're in a good spot. We're in a better spot than a lot of people.
Well, that's really good. I mean, it's how you pick the right school, actually, and the right coach. You know, I mean, that coach was there when I was playing, so I definitely know he's been there a long time and stuff like that. I have to ask you a comparison because you are a city lead woman, and now like, everything's in the OCC, is that what it's called now?
Yeah.
It's always been that. I'm sorry. So yeah. Because everyone's moving out and, you know, people are able to, you know, obviously, justification, everyone's able to move on and stuff like that. Like, do you guys still play some of the city league teams and stuff like that still?
We do. The coach, this year he's having a little trouble, but one of my old buddies that we went to high school with, Kevin D'Arthur, he coached at Lyndon McKinley, so we have him on the schedule. I'm like, y'all, 0-2, you know what I mean? Walnut Ridge was coming for us. They had a solid loaded senior class, so they was gunning for us, and we won, and then they beat us, and we didn't really count it. And so we do play city schools. The first year we played Mifflin, I was so excited. Sean had 9 points that game. I almost disowned him. I'm like, this is my school. I need you to have 34 because I was number 34. He went in there and didn't care. Like, so we do play city schools, but majority of the time, the most competitive is a lot of the OCC teams. Nice. So coach tries to balance it out, but a lot of times the city schools don't want to play you. But I believe we do have Lyndon McKinley on the schedule again and Walnut Ridge, and he's looking for a few others to fill if there's even a season. So we do play city schools. Unfortunately, I think everybody's in the OCC, though.
Yeah, everyone's moving out, right? Everyone's moving out. And I mean, that's progression in life, right? You know, you still have memories, right? We still have our city league memories and stuff like that.
Right. No, I love Mifflin. I love every way I was brought up, but I also appreciate the way my son was brought up, even though he's kind of in that spoiled era. But I mean, we're not, you know, we ain't doing it up like that. He got friends that, you know, darn near live in mansions. So he still comes from a humble beginning, more so for me. But he still has that city flair. His game is city.
Yeah.
It's just there wasn't a good fit for him because I wanted to take him to the city. But I did trust in Coach Stive. And, I mean, it took a few thoughts to get to fully trusting him. But a lot of respect for him and what he's done.
That was a good decision. I have to ask you, You know, there's a big debate with the, you know, with this Jordan doc coming out and stuff like that. But my question with you, like, especially with you having a son young, and, you know, LeBron James is a great player. How do you, like, tell them about, like, the MJ era and stuff like that? Like, how do you explain some of the great players of your era, not just MJ? Like, because they don't want to hear it. So how do you do it?
I mean, you just took the words out of your own mouth. They don't want to hear it. I think because my ESPN app has been messing up, and I'm trying to show Sean this. He don't want to see it, but he want to wear the Jordans. But I'm like, you need to watch this for a number of reasons. So on Twitter, I'll tag him on stuff that Jordan has said that I really respect it. I mean, I was a huge Kobe Bryant fan. The world was shocked when he passed, but I'm like, nah, I was a legitimate Kobe fan. So that was heartbreaking. I mean, he's just in a different era. His one of their assistant coaches just called me yesterday, like, man, I got a task for Sean. I want him to study Isaiah Thomas, because Sean studies players or whatever. I mean, there's so many hoopers. I mean, I have random people like, you need to study somebody from the West Coast. It's like, hey, you can't study everybody, you know, like somebody that his game is like, or, but a big one now that he about to put in some work on is Isaiah Thomas. But I don't really, the thing about my son is I still am a single parent. I know basketball, but if I push something a little too much, he goes against it. So, you know, I'll just talk about things. I'll send him stuff for him to look at, but I don't push it on him when they be like, oh, I don't care. Well, okay, you don't care. I'm not going to make it. I'm not going to push it. Like, we'll just go with what you think you know. So.
Yeah, that's the generation. My dad, like, go good. You're old, because you sure you say it to him. Like, that's what they do. I had to ask you, like, I seen recently that you was like, you know, getting your fitness on. You about to make a return? What you doing?
You know, look. You know what's funny on this video? I'm trying to get my angles right because I done put on like 20 pounds of weight. When my son was young, I used to have him at the gym. I play open gym. Basketball is where I was very confident at. I don't play around no more because I can't see myself as a full bum. So every now and then, when I take him to the gym, I try to do a little mic and drill or take 3 jump shots, 1 go off to the right or something. Like 2 years ago, I tried to play. My son almost died. I had him down in the post, and I'm trying to do moves on him, trying to spin off him. He just hit me with his shoulder, boom, boom. And I went over to the side. I was like, you know what? Them days is done. So, I mean, outside of, like, playing for fun, and I used to play in a few of the women's league. I'm just trying to get in shape because I put on a little more weight than I like to be at. So I just – my son has dominated my basketball life. So, listen, whatever I put into him, even though he don't even think I got any game, that's as far as it go. No return this way.
Yeah, right. Let me find you on some semi-protein over in Columbus. I'm going to come find you. Like, see, you lied on my show.
So. Right. Nah, I wish. Nah, it's all support for him. A few of the girls that I used to, like, you know, see around the way, a bunch of his teammates that I coach his, you know, so it's all support for them. But I mainly just – All Sean, he done took all my little basketball. I try to, that's it for me. No returns this way. I'm washed. I'm real life washed. So, yeah.
I get it totally. I just had to ask because, you know, it's still in you. You know, it's always going to be in you 100% both ways, coaching or being a player.
Right.
You're definitely going to help the world with this conversation.
Mm-hmm.
Without question. Well, thank you for the opportunity to talk with you. I would like to get you on later on in the year, maybe in person, probably, I don't know, maybe 5 months from now.
Yeah.
But definitely, yeah. Appreciate that 100%.
Okay, yes. Thanks for having me. Right, sometimes it's hard for me to respond, and I ain't going to lie. When things are back picked up, good luck. Because, you know, his basketball be taking over. But, yeah, for sure, 5-6 months from now, you in town. I'm definitely, even if you want to talk to Sean, I'm here. So, thank you for having me.
Okay. Well, thank you, Sharon. Appreciate the opportunity. You take care, okay?
Okay, you too. Bye.
All right, bye.